This piece was brought to you by Fairway Market, fairwaymarket.com. HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
This is the news.
For most of us, soy sauce is little more than a salty side note. In fact, this umami-rich substance counts among the world's oldest condiments. What started out as a byproduct of food preservation methods in ancient China has developed into a star ingredient with global reach. Each week, culinary historian Linda Palacio takes listeners on a journey through the history of food on A Taste of the Past. Tune in as Linda interviews scholars and culinary chroniclers to discuss food culture from ancient Mesopotamia to the deli counters of today. In episode 119, Linda speaks with Helen Roberts, publicity manager and creative culinary director at Kikkoman USA. Kikkoman has produced soy sauce for over 300 years. In 1972, the company opened the first Japanese-owned factory in the United States. There, they began producing soy sauce on American soil. Helen explains the origins of this enigmatic liquid seasoning.
Soy sauce was discovered in early 500 BC in China, and at that time it was made with soybeans, but it was started out as the liquid that people would preserve their meats or fish, and that was like a byproduct, and that's where the idea of soy sauce came from. A Japanese monk went to China, but he was a vegetarian, so he decided to find a way to make that same product to preserve meat with grains and salt instead of a meat byproduct, and that's how soy sauce became alive. It's amazing because it starts out with the four ingredients. Originally, it did not have wheat, but Kikkoman added wheat because we felt that it would make it a more mellow taste and not just harsh soybeans.
Mm-hmm.
So water, wheat, soybeans, and salt. And then we start off with a little fermentation. And about 6 months later, this wonderful aroma and smell. So there's so many components of what happens when you blend those four ingredients together.
While American palates are familiar with soy sauce, Helen believes that a more nuanced understanding of the ingredient remains to be developed. First and foremost, she advocates for a clear distinction between naturally fermented and chemically brewed methods.
In Japan, there are about 16 types of soy sauce, and in America, there is no standard for soy sauce. So that's why we have a product that's made basically with hydrolyzed vegetable protein, caramel color, and maybe molasses, different things, and it takes 2 weeks to make it, and it's called soy sauce. But for the standards in Japan, there are different colors of soy sauce, there's different intensity of flavors, and different amounts of sodium and sweetness levels. So there are 16 different types. The naturally brewed soy sauces are very warm colored and clear. It's a brown, but it's a nice clear color. It's not muddy like you would find the one that takes about 2 weeks to process. Fermented soy sauce smells like a wine or like a beer with the yeast. And the one that's not brewed smells a little, like you get that sharp sense in your nose. It's like a burning, kind of like an alcohol burn. One makes your mouth water and the other one makes your eyes tear up.
Helen's mission is to expand the possible applications of soy sauce for the American home cook. She encourages use of the condiment in dishes sweet and savory.
I have a recipe on Kikkoman USA website for soy sauce ice cream. It's the taste is like a salty caramel. So I'm using the soy sauce as you would use a vanilla flavor.
She also cautions against its overuse.
People haven't learned how to use soy sauce properly. And a lot of times it's too salty because they've used way too much. We use soy sauce as an umami ingredient to increase the flavors of everything else.
To hear more about this elusive agent of umami seasoning, tune to episode 119 of A Taste of the Past. You can listen to A Taste of the Past live on Thursdays from 12 to 12:30. This is Elizabeth Koulas reporting for HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Heritage Radio Network is a member-supported nonprofit organization broadcasting over 30 live shows a week. To learn more and donate, visit our website or connect with us on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram for more. Thanks for listening.